Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Didn't work, Ken. We are still having, throughout the show, we were having a little bit of an issue. But anyway, check us out on the radio.com app. It is Sam and Greg. Only got about an hour left. Normally we're on until 10 o'clock, but because it is, oh my goodness gracious, I think it is gone. God bless you, Ken.
Is it gone?
Football, well,
I think it is.
It is.
I think it is.
Ken,
hey,
open your microphone.
It is a game day Sunday.
God bless you. Hey, Sam and I have been Stevie Wonder. What?
It wasn't me. It was Abe. Abe
was
Gordon.
Who? Abe?
Yeah.
Tell him to take an extra 20 out of petty cash for himself.
All right.
Do it, man.
And what he did is the oddest thing. I would never have guessed to have done it. So,
well,
whatever.
Please write it down and tape it to the board there.
I'm going to take a picture of it. How about that?
Yeah. I knew it was something. Again, for you, for those of you who are just joining
us. Good going,
Sam,
Ken.
Sam and I have been
flying. Ken's been hanging today.
Blind all morning long. And we haven't been mean to him, have we? And all the shows
just off the air, you know. I the occasional curse out, but it's okay.
We didn't. If we really meant it, we'd eliminated your segment. And we
this is true. This is true.
So we had some technical issues, and again, we have a little. Hey, listen, we bring you guys in behind the curtain all the time, and we let you know what things are going on, and but Sam and I were flying blind this morning, and that's why it sounded the way it did earlier. And everybody who's ever been in this business for more than an hour and a half has experienced it. But it's still, like I said, it's one thing when we're looking at each other and we're in the studio, but we have this added issue of being, you know, two counties away from each other. Fulton County literally sits between where Sam is sitting right now and where I'm sitting. And so.
And you always give me an accurate weather forecast.
It happened before this week. Was it this week or last week?
I think this week we had it one day this week.
I give him a call, and he knows he got 20, 25 minutes to get back home or get the umbrella or do whatever.
Hey, guys, you know what's even funnier is when this COVID stuff started, they actually wanted to put the producers at home doing this too. So we could be like four counties away because I live in Henry County, so it'd been all over the place.
Yikes. Yikes. This is so much better. And again, we apologize earlier. You know, all the little stuff that we do with each other, it was sort of put on the back burner, but we are so happy right now. Again, coming up later in this hour, in fact, in about 20 minutes, we're going to talk to David Archer. He'll be on the call with West Durham for today's Falcons game. The voice, one of the voices of our Atlanta Falcons on radio, and you can hear that game right here. Just while I'm thinking about it, give you the quick lineup for the rest of the day when we get on out of here. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Willie P. and Hugh Douglas from 9 until 11. And the pregame show, Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas, going to take you up to kickoff of the
Hey, Greg.
Falcons, hey, Greg. And the Seahawks, yes?
Yeah, Greg.
Yeah.
Are we going to ask David Archer about his boys yesterday?
You are.
About the fighting day?
You are.
Oh, I'm going to ask him.
Because you've named that team that, and I think he – but you've said it to him before, so – it's not so bad. Man,
but they got embarrassed. They got embarrassed yesterday, though, man. That was wow. I'm just saying.
I want
to
go back.
Guys from Lafayette who don't like to. You know what? Somebody out there must have called those guys Lafayette because they don't like to be called Lafayette anymore.
That's right.
Maybe that's why they beat them so bad. You know what I mean? Maybe that's why they just.
We will get his perspective on that in just a minute. Man, I want to jump in a DeLorean and go back 2 hours and do this show again. I had so much stuff that I wanted to talk about, and I didn't because we couldn't hear each other and things were going on. But listen, speaking of being embarrassed, that's what I would like to think the Houston Rockets feel right now. I'm so glad they're gone. They shouldn't have made it to this far in the playoffs. But Lakers eliminated them last night, 3-1. They will wait for the winner of the Clippers and Denver matchup, which should end tonight. As far as I'm concerned, shouldn't go to a game 7. Clippers are up 3-2 in that one. And it's the matchup you want to see. You almost, you know, you really kind of wish this was the, for many.
The final.
The finals. Yeah. But Boston and Miami, you know what?
You got something to say about that. You have a chance. You have a chance still to have a Boston Lakers final, which I don't know if you saw that coming necessarily when they sent it back to the bubble. But, I mean, it'd be a totally different thing because when you think Lakers, Boston, you think playing in LA and playing in Boston. Right. And that's the thing you think they're going to play this game in front of no, they're going to, if it's Boston and LA playing in front of no fans, man.
Well, that, they got some fans there now. Cool. Got family.
They got their family members and significant or insignificant others that we found out with one player.
Keep Rondo's family out.
Hey guys, wouldn't you guys rather see the Heat versus the Lakers? You know, Jimmy G and all those guys rather than the Celtics. I know Celtics rivalry and that stuff, but I think Jimmy G versus LeBron and all those guys would be a much better TV matchup.
On its own, I pick a different reason why I would want that series. And that's because you'd want Pat Riley to go back and beat the Lakers. Not so much the players, because I don't think the players now, after all these years, conjure up visions of you know, Magic and Larry or even Kobe and Kevin Garnett. But the thought of Pat Riley going back as the president of Miami. By the way, a Miami team that wasn't supposed to get past Milwaukee.
Right.
And then them go out and take it too. Because, see, there is no home court advantage. Like you said, you know, traveling out to the West Coast, you know, you take everything into consideration. You take in the crowd. You take in Boston Garden. This Boston Garden, by the way, isn't the same as the one that used to be there. But travel.
No, man. They don't have the rats didn't move.
The rats, the leprechaun.
They had rats the size.
The screws.
They had rats the size of Rottweilers in the old Boston Garden. Yeah. They didn't move them in the new building.
So that part of it's gone. But just the fact that you got Pat Riley going back to taking it to the Lakers, that would be interesting.
Okay.
But again, those two teams going at it in the conference finals is like what we say about the conference finals in football too in the NFL. You almost kind of want.
Have you guys seen the backstories already?
Have
you seen the backstories already? With the folks who lost, Giannis supposedly has unfollowed all of his teammates on social media, and already they're wondering what's going to happen with D'Antoni. He's saying he prefers to stay with Houston. Remember, they already had him packaged up and going.
He's
Utah
out the door.
Somewhere.
No, Indiana.
I forget which team? Yeah, well, he's in the Indiana.
Yeah,
but I mean,
Indiana.
He's saying he preferred to stay in Houston since they didn't get put out. If they got knocked out by OKC, that would have been a done deal. But maybe since they got past OKC, maybe that allowed him to stay in Houston. I don't know.
No, it seems like he's out the door anyway.
We've seen that team go as far as it's going to go.
Any Mike D'Antoni team, they always have warning track power, man. It just seems that way. They run. I'll tell you another dude who was like that too. What's the guy who used to coach Denver? Those guys that just run up and down the court, they'll get they'll put up a bunch of points and they'll get into the playoffs, but they only seem to go so far because once you slow that ball down and you got to play half court and, you know, you look at this Houston team and it's like the JV versus the varsity as far as size. And what has been said about
George Karl?
There you go.
George Karl?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
George Karl, there was another guy out there. I want to say Rick Adelman. I think he was somewhere else in Portland. But there was an actual divide between West Coast style basketball and East Coast style basketball. All right. I don't know that that's still the case. that you can draw a line of delineation where it actually happens. But when you look at this Houston team and the way it's made up, I so wanted OKC to take them out because of the way they shipped off Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think the East Coast ball, West Coast ball is – I think the East Coast ball, West Coast ball is gone because you've gotten so many players who played in the East who've gone out West, you know, now. And guys who are out – you know, guys moving back. That was back when guys would stay – in a certain division, stay with a certain team in a long time and be the personality and the vibe of that team, and you guys don't do it anymore. I mean, you want to go play with your buddy over here, we go play with your friend, or you guys got the same agent or the same financial consultant or whatnot. And that's just it. I know what you're talking about, Greg. During that time, you did have West Coast style play. All the running up and down the floor was fun stuff to watch. The East Coast stuff was the powerful stuff inside. You had those guys inside that were physical. They cut the floor in half, and you pick your teeth up off the floor. So that's it's a different type game now. In that, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
It will be a much more physical game. It's a lot more different now with these guys.
Now, think about this, too. You got the Western Conference semifinals going on. Game 6. That game's going to be on at 1 o'clock this afternoon. That's a prime time match.
Today they want to get it on and get it off.
I know that. And here's the thing. This is a byproduct of the – but wouldn't you say this is also a byproduct of A – sports coming back the way it is, you know, with one hand tied behind their back. Yep. You got the pandemic, which is adjusting everything because of that. I don't know that why would TV still not put their best foot forward as far as, because we get this all the time where we got three or four, channels with games going on.
You got to make choices, though. You got to make choices. You know what? The other night was Thursday night when Serena played against
a lot of stuff going on.
Azarenka, it's the first time she played a nighttime match. They had her playing during the daytime hours so as not to conflict with the NBA player. Notice that. She played all daytime matches, and usually she always plays at nighttime in New York.
When has the network cared about that before?
Because you got other stuff happening.
But that's
wait,
got,
when
that's...
did you get down here a few weeks and the Masters is going on? And they got to have the Preakness on.
Well, I don't count the Preakness. I don't put the Preakness. I don't put the Preakness in that category. I don't put the French Open in that category.
But they still have that time slot with that network that they got to work around it. And that's what's happening. You're not going to disregard it because you're not going for a triple crown. They're still going to do it. They're still going to have my. And they can't dance around that. So, I mean, that's going to be the challenging time here in the coming weeks. You got sports that are not usually being played this time of year, yet you know there are television events. You know sponsors are there. They already didn't make the money earlier in this year on these sports. They can't afford to pass them up. You know, those spots are already sold. So, yeah, it's a delicate balancing act that we're going to really see in the coming weeks. What gets top priority? What starts at the usual time? What starts at a different time? And we're starting to see it today with an NBA playoff game. Could be the final game of that series. We're playing them at 1 o'clock. And like you said, Greg, that's usually prime time.
But you can still – listen, how many channels does ESPN have? They got umpteen channels where they could put different programming on. Yes, if you got Major League Baseball on a Sunday night, they're not going to pull that game because you still got NBA. You got the NFL on NBC. Listen, we've been doing this for years. We got a night like we've had this past week. We had a number of all those sports were playing on the same night. You put a new battery in the remote, and you put some calluses on your thumb, and that's what you do. So I don't know why they still are moving chess pieces around now differently, especially to get that prime time advertising dollar in its usual spot for these games. We're gonna go back and forth about this. I'm just so happy not to have a delay. Like I said, we need to get in a DeLorean, man, and go back a couple hours. Abe, thank you. God bless you. We'll talk to David Archer next. The voice of the Atlanta Falcons, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radios.com app. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com. And be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. It's Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
That's what we're waiting to hear. It's a beautiful morning now. We got everything worked out, and man, we have been waiting to talk to this guy to give us an update on what's going on as we get ready for this 2020 season. As goofy as it's been this whole year, I have no idea how people are going to describe this year a decade from now or 25 years from now, Sam, but at some point, there's got to be an uptick for pleasantness. There's got to be some good news coming out of this year. And maybe this is the beginning of it. It's football season. But before we get his thoughts on what's going to happen with the Falcons or what happened yesterday in college football, I want to welcome David Archer to the show. The first time this year, we haven't had Dave on in a while. How are you and your family doing and making it through this craziness, man?
Greg, Sammy, good to be on with you guys. A football Sunday here in Atlanta. Been a long time coming. Appreciate you asking. Everybody's good here in my household and my immediate family, and we've been able to steer through this thing like a lot of people have. And for those that have had a tough time, certainly are we're thinking about you and stuff. But it's been a crazy time. But you know, the football this weekend has really been a little salve on the wound for me. I can't speak for everybody else, but it's been fun to watch some football, albeit not in stuffed stadiums or whatever, but it's been fun to get back to doing kind of what we do and having fun watching what we like to watch. So excited about this game this afternoon. Two playoff hopefuls, no question.
Well, I was actually going to ask you another follow-up question here, but you actually just answered it for me, so I'm going to acquiesce to Mr. Crenshaw and let him ask his question because I wanted to find out something. So go ahead, man.
Well, you know, my thing is always up at camp because, Arch, I haven't seen you. I haven't been up to Flowery Branch. You've been up there. What has it been like for you to go up there, the limited access that we get to have these days? What has your experience been like? And have you been able to get closer to the team who you roll? Do they test you when you go up there? What's your deal?
Yeah, I've had to go through the testing. I've been testing once a week. I think I've had 8 tests, I believe. And fortunately, I've been clean each time I've gone up. I have to go up every Monday to test with the rest of the organization if you're in and around the team. But in and around the team is a bit of a dodgy subject because some of us aren't in and around the team, but we're in and around the team, if you know what I mean. I'm up on the hill, Sam, up on that far hill. A lot of the media's up that way, and a lot of us that work around this team have had there's certain tiers of your exposure to the team and them to you. I actually talked to Matt Ryan for our pregame show, which you guys will hear coming up here on Countdown to Kickoff here in a couple hours here on 92.9 The Game. And
that was smooth. That was
Ryan
smooth.
Ryan says, I've seen you up on the hill, man. He says, this seems so strange. We normally talk every day after practice. And so it's been different in that regard. But it's been good to watch them. They've practiced. I haven't seen any difference in practice. I think that's one question I've gotten asked a number of times. How are the practices? You know, you heard about these different pods, guys working. Now, they've practiced like they normally did. Little less hitting, obviously, guys, because no preseason games, which I think is going to affect a lot of teams this weekend, some of the lack of physicality that you don't get those data points that you get from a preseason game. But I thought we saw some pretty clean football on Thursday, certainly from Kansas City. But I think some of the physical parts of it, Sam and Greg, are going to be evident. The blocking, the tackling, I think some of that is going to be something these players are going to have to work out as you kind of get into a couple games in the season.
Have you ever had that, David, going back to your playing days, David Archer, by the way, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Obviously, you can't replicate what's going on right now in 2020, but back in the day when you were playing, was it coming off an injury? Or I don't think you played during a strike-shortened year, but wherever it was where your preparation got cut short, how long did it take you to get into that rhythm you needed to have to make it through a game?
Yeah, we actually had the strike-shortened season, Greg, my fourth year in the league, I believe. Sam, we remember probably better than I would. I think 87.
Yep,
We were out for four games. Yeah, so coming back off of that, I think most of us stayed in shape, but that was a little bit of a ramp up. And it's a good point, Greg, that you know you're away from it for a little while. And although we were trying to practice and as a team, but we were away from the team, so I guess that would be the closest thing to it. I think that. there's a bit of a misnomer in the fact that you didn't get the preseason games are what to me were the big deal in this deal. They get a lot of practice time. They tried to scrimmage, but because of the limitations, guys, that the NFLPA and the owners have agreed to, Sam can tell you back in my day, we did goal line every day, you know, full live goal line. We did, I think my rookie year was 17 yep. straight two-a-days in pads. So it was physical back in those days. And you established that mentality in camp. Nowadays, the coaches, I think it's much more challenging for the coaches to try to establish that physical mentality, yet you can't do it in practice. And really the only time you got to do it was in the preseason games because that's how you got to play, right? Didn't have those moments. So that's where I say that a little bit lacking. But, no, this has been a strange deal, Greg. I don't think anybody really had anything like this to happen to them.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline. You'll hear him later on today, along with Wes Durham. It is Dave Archer. He is social. You can follow him on Twitter at ArcherQB16, ArcherQB16, all lowercase. Dave, let's talk about a couple of people that are very important and lifesavers for any quarterback, especially for Matt Ryan, Russell Gage and Hayden Hurst, your slot receiver and your tight end, the guys who have to find the yardsticks. Talk about those guys and how you think they're going to work out now, stepping full-time into those roles with Matt.
Terry, I love when you pick out guys that are going to be those core guys that are going to make those plays that nobody talks about, that they're going to extend drives. No question about it. I think Russell Gage really came into his own a year ago, had, 49, 50 grabs a year ago. Actually was the guy targeted on the play that Julio ended up catching in the 49er game on the last play of the game that won the football game. Russell Gage was the first option. That tells you how far he's come, but he's had an excellent camp. His understanding of the in-between-the-numbers areas, how to find his way through some of the coverage, when to set it down, if it's zone, when to continue to run versus man coverage. And then Hayden Hurst has been really good, Sam. I was out there for every practice. I didn't see a ball hit the ground. It went in Hayden Hurst's direction. So big shoes to fill, right? Because, Austin Hooper, pretty good player over the last couple seasons for the Falcons. This guy's a little bit different guy in that he's got more vertical speed than Hooper had. And I think he's going to be a better inline blocker, which is going to maybe get you some of those third and three, third and four situations instead of third and seven, third and eight, because you got a better inline blocker, maybe get Gurley and Hill and some of those guys running a little bit. But I love the way he understands how to pinball his way through there, Sam, much like some of the really good pass-catching tight ends. And that's where you're bouncing off different players, being able to play that basketball position where you seal off one side and have the ball thrown to another side where you can reach out with those long arms and catch the football. So I like both those guys to have a big impact today.
David, let's talk about the guy who makes things go, because if we don't have anything happening coming out of the backfield, play action and all of that stuff is going to suffer as far as the new weapons that Sam just brought up. So what are you hearing about Todd Gurley and how he's looked in camp so far?
He's looked good, Greg. I think that there was some erroneous reporting that he was limping around and stuff. He wasn't limping around. The guy's running the hill. You guys have been out to Flowery Branch. Yeah. There's about a 45-yard hill. It's on about a 45, 50-degree angle. He's running that in full pads after practice. I mean, the guy's ready to roll. There's some day. He's taking some damage. When you carry the ball as much as he has in the National Football League, you're going to be banged up a little bit just overall. But he looked great in practice. He's catching the ball in the backfield like we knew he could. And he's going to pay real dividends, guys, to me down in the red zone. I think 6'1", 225. Correct me if I'm wrong. You guys have been covering this team for a long time. I don't remember a guy like that with the speed that Gurley's got. Be able to run through arm tackles, maybe make defenses commit more resources to the box, and now that frees Ridley and Jones and Hurst up on the outside. I think he's going to pay big dividends down close. And Atlanta has not been very good down in the red zone. In fact, in this game a year ago, went 1-for-3 in the red zone. That'll be something they'll need to rectify. I think Gurley helps get that done. 12 rushing touchdowns a year ago. All of those for the Rams came in the red zone.
He's the voice of the Atlanta Falcons on radio. It's David Archer joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, these guys get started with one of those quarterbacks. One of those quarterbacks that gives defensive coordinators sort of headaches as they prepare for this week, and that's Russell Wilson. And how do you see them attacking him in this game?
Well, it's tough because you're not going to completely take Russ away, right? I think that what you'd like to take away is his abilities and impromptu ability, Greg, to extend plays. I think he did some of that in this game in Week 8 a year ago where they jumped out to a 24-0 lead and held on to a 27-20 win. He extends plays, and he's not necessarily looking to run. In fact, he only ran for 4 or 5 yards in this game a year ago. but his ability to escape that initial rush. Now the secondary's in trouble because they're having to hang on to that coverage an additional 2-3 seconds, and he found Lockett a couple times. He found Metcalf a couple times, and that allowed them to jump out to that lead. So I think the extension of plays is what you're going to have to take care of with Russell Wilson. Make him throw it from the pocket. Still very good. He's a MVP candidate before we even play this football game. 31 touchdowns, just 5 picks a year ago. He's legitimately one of the best in the league. But make him do it from the confines of the pocket. He's a smaller player. Make those vision angles a little bit tougher on him.
You say that at the same time the Falcons are looking to break in the top draft pick. What a baptism by fire for this young man to come in and fresh off the campus at Clemson. And we're going to get to see a lot of him today. And look at the quarterback he's going to face in his first NFL game with no preseason games.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier during whatever week you're in, Sam. This is the big time now. You stepped onto the major stage. He has not shied away. And I don't think, you know, when we talk about baptism by fire, it doesn't get any better than trying to defend Ridley and Jones in practice every day. They've had some incredible matchups. Coming up bump and run, he's had his moments where he's won, he's lost a few. The thing I like about him, he's already got that maturity about him where he moves on to the next play, because you're going to make some mistakes. Things are going to happen to you. People are going to catch a ball on you. But you got to be able to move to that next play and be as good as you can possibly be. And he's been able to show that. So I think that Terrell's going to have some moments where some guys are going to get by him, but he's also going to have his moments. He's got great ball skills. If it's in his area and he can get to it, he catches the ball like a wide receiver. So I like his chances to win a lot of those battles.
Hey, listen, David, we don't have much time with you, and I know Sam wants to ask you about your college program next, but before we leave, we talked about the obvious, but talk to the fan base and how they should feel about going into the season with the special teams this year.
Yeah, I think the two young kickers are going to be fine. I think that Hoffrichter looks really good. He's a really good – does a really good job. I had a chance to call a couple of his games at Syracuse. He's not a big, deep punter. He's a guy that's going to hang it, give you some hang time, cover the 45-yard range. Where he really excels to me is when you're trying to pin teams deep. He's excellent at putting the ball down on about that 10-yard line, 8-yard line, just sealing teams down there, making them give the long road. And Young Waiku was pretty good last year. I thought he did a nice job of coming in and doing an excellent job. I don't worry about that at all. The return game will be interesting. Got a couple of new guys back there. Powell looks like he's going to return kicks. Ito Smith returned some kicks. So I think that it's going to be okay. I think they're in good hands. But the young kickers, I'm confident in the young kickers.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with David Archer. He'll join Wes Durham later today. He'll be on the call here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons against Seahawks to start the season. But, Arch, I got to ask you about your boys yesterday, man. What was that Iowa State
yesterday? I don't even know it's worth the time here on 92.9 The Game, the home of the Atlanta Falcons. But, yeah, my Iowa State team came in and just laid a major egg. And give credit to Billy Napier's team from Louisiana. That's a good football team. I believe they were an 11-win team a year ago. They came in, played extremely well against Iowa State's really good offense, negated Brock Purdy, but their quarterback was efficient. He took care of the ball, and their special teams, you talk about special teams now, a 95-yard kickoff return, 83-yard punt return. Hey, that's how you win games in the third phase of the game.
Listen, I was impressed also at the story about the naming of your stadium up there, Arch. I didn't know the story behind it, and they shared some of that during the game, and it sent me on Google to read more.
Well, we take great pride in it at Iowa State. It's something we did a long time ago. Jack Trice was a player back in the 30s that unfortunately was a victim of racism, was a victim of what we – you know, we do, it's stupid. And he was hurt in the game, actually was stomped by some players in the game, ultimately died from those injuries. I'm thankful that you have the foresight in those people at Iowa State that they would name the stadium after Jack Trice. We're very proud of that. George Washington Carver has a building named on the campus. George Washington Carver taught at Iowa State. So very proud of that legacy and very proud of that we would be the only team in the country that has an African American's name attached to the stadium.
Listen, I appreciate you cleaning that up a second ago, Sam. I mentioned the voice of the Atlanta Falcons on radio. He's one of the voices, along with Wes Durham. David Archer joining us, friend of the show, and we just love him for getting up and joining us. We just don't have you on enough, man, but kicking off this football season, we thought you were the best guest to have on this Sunday morning. So can't thank you enough for getting up and joining us, man.
It's always good to be with you guys, and appreciate what you guys do for Atlanta, because everybody's excited about game day, and you guys get them ready.
Well, we're going to get them started here in just a second. Let them know the lineup. David, have a great call today, man.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, again, that's David Archer. Again, he'll be in the booth with actually, I should have asked him that, if he's gonna, where he's calling it from. You know, in the stadium, or is he going to be at home, or wherever? Yeah, we forgot to ask him that.
He's going to be there. But
well, he'll be there, yeah, but partitioned between them.
That'll be separate, yeah.
We have got following us here, top of the hour. Of course, we've got the Wait For It Tailgate Show, Willie P. and Hugh Douglas. That'll go till 11 o'clock. Then you got the Countdown to Kickoff pregame show with Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas from 11 until 1. And then you hear the call, Wes Durham and David Archer. We got more football talk to wrap up the show next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sitting on the dock of the bay. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app. We are got a full day of football around here, Mr. Crenshaw, which means it's what?
It is a game day Sunday.
There you go, there you go, there you go. I'm waiting to get an answer back from David Archer, because we were wondering whether or not he was traveling with the team for road games or doing them remotely. Just something we were curious about.
That's a good question. But you showed a little bit about the process. Remember, we talked with D. Orlando Ledbetter and talked about the things he had to do every day when he went up to – and you see something different, someone who actually, you know, is closer to the team. There are different degrees and different layers in place that gives you an idea – of what's being done to try to protect the teams and provide a bit of a bubble, even though there isn't a physical bubble, but to still to try to provide that for the teams. And there'll be limited people on the field today. Only certain people will be cleared to be on the field at all. And, of course, there are no fans. And just essential people as far as the networks, your camera crews and those people. So That's the thing. There's limited people and the varying degrees of access, and you just heard that from Arch. It's pretty interesting.
And because we're thinking about how we've watched baseball do their thing in the primetime games, naturally. But anyway, we'll find out. We'll see what's happening with him. We've got about 15 minutes or so left before we get on out of here. Normally it's 6 to 10, but now that we're in football season, Sam and I are joining you on Sunday mornings from 6 until 9, followed by the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P. and Hugh Douglas will be joining you at 9 o'clock till 11, and then the Countdown to Kickoff pregame show. Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas from 11 until 1. Then you got the call with Wes Durham and David Archer. I didn't mention this earlier, and I just want to just do this real quick, and we'll get back to football, because I had talked about a casting call earlier, and actually I should just say it like this, about jobs, because that's what we do, right? We let folks know about jobs around here.
That's it.
And let's start with just real quick, the information about finding where you can go to get the behind-the-scenes jobs. There's been a couple, we've been dealing with some technical issues here, and getting this up on our website has still been a process, and I want to thank Knox Bardeen for helping me with that. But right now, I just want to drive you to Georgia.org, and they will walk you through finding the job opportunities to get on a cruise. Those of you out there that have a skill set that lends itself to being on a crew, electrician, carpenter, driver, hairdresser, cook, whatever it could be, they will walk you through, and you can find out those opportunities. Also want to remind you, for those parents out there or anybody who's under 18 that wants to get into the business, you got to have that certificate from the Georgia Department of Labor. You can dial them up online, Georgia Department of Labor. They will direct you toward where you get the certificate. Everybody's got to have one. And I want to send you to Destination Casting. Oh, just two of them. DestinationCasting.com. ExtrasCastingAtlanta.com. These are two mainstays on Casting Call. Destination Casting in January, who Sam and I, we had on a few weeks ago, they have actually three projects. They have a top-notch COVID-19 protocol in place, and it's being updated regularly, but they have had success with doing their shows. We've been talking about Tyler Perry and his camp quarantine, and he's inside a bubble there, and he's doing his own shows. But there are other projects that are being shot. I feel comfortable telling you about submitting yourself for these particular jobs with Destination Casting for the project Saints and Sinners, Dwight and Shining Armor, and January's got another Christmas project they're shooting. And extrascastingatlanta.com, you want to go there because Patrick is doing an untitled project. Needs a lot of Latinos this week. Now, Extras Casting Atlanta, the folks who are doing Walking Dead, and I don't know if you heard the news this past week, Sam, but the Walking Dead is going to shut it down after this season.
Really?
They are done.
Yikes.
They have had their run. Some people say it should have ended a year or so ago. I'm not that invested in the show to say, well, you know, they should have shut it down or not. You know, a lot of people go that extra year or 2 years and they say, yeah, the show should have ended back when. But I just want to mention this. There is going to be a spinoff of The Walking Dead. And it's going to involve two people from the cast, one of which is a friend. And anybody who's been going to auditions in Atlanta for more than about 15 years knows this woman. And it's Melissa McBride. She plays Carol on The Walking Dead. Carol used to work at a place called Stillwell Casting. And, dude, she used to tape me. She used to tape my auditions. And now she is going to be a massive star. You know, it's like the story cool. You hear about who, you know, Ludacris used to work, he used to intern for Ryan Cameron. And
right,
he's become
right.
Who he's become, right?
Right,
well, Carol
right.
Carol was one of us back in the day. But she was always a great actress. And Annette Stillwell pushed her toward taking that audition and seeking out that role. They came to her. And she was, you know, she's a great actress. But she's very quiet. She's not an extrovert, if you will. But she can be when she needs to be. My point is, I just wanted to give her a shout out and mention this on the air, that she will be a part of the Walking Dead spinoff. Melissa McBride, who plays Carol on The Walking Dead. And we couldn't be happier for her. I speak for everybody who's ever auditioned at Stillwell and knows her throughout the years. Dude, you know there was a time when you auditioned in Atlanta, instead of making a tape, if you had one of the biggest casting directors was in Charlotte, we had to get in the car and drive to Charlotte for an audition.
What they got in Charlotte?
Well, the casting director was based there. And this was before people were sending out tapes and sending out videos where you could do it. The technology wasn't in place to where you could record yourself and send it to somebody. So we physically got in the car and drove 4 hours for what was basically a 2-minute audition and got back in the car and drove back to Atlanta. And hundreds of actors did that on a regular basis. And actors who lived around the Southeast drove to Atlanta. Anyway, congratulations to her. Wanted to say that about Melissa, and look for that show coming up. All right, get ready for today's show. Yep. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I should have said show the games. What are you most looking forward to besides seeing what the Falcons look like against the Seahawks, man?
That's it's going to be anxious to see. You want to see what Cam Newton looks like in a new place. You want to see if this Brady thing is for real or just a lot of hype. So I think those are the things that I'm immediately looking forward to seeing today on the field. Of course, some things we're going to see before the game are also making news. And there was the unity and one team deciding to stay in the locker room before games kicked off on Thursday night. The Houston team made that choice. There's some teams that are going to do different things today. The Dolphins team right now is saying that I think they're going to stay in the locker room, you know, for the national anthem, which today they will also play Lift Every Voice and Sing. For those of people who forgot, they announced that so long ago, and the Dolphins players came out with a video this week and said, and, you know, and my thing is, I'm kind of there too. Lift Every Voice and Sing is something that was part of my life growing up as a child. I was taught that in the elementary schools that I attended. You and I both had parents who learned that song. They attended HBCUs.
Yep.
And that's part of the tradition there. Some of here sung in church. But other people who don't know it are being introduced to it today. So, you know, Google it, you know, look up the words and see what it's all about. The players are saying, though, that they didn't request this. This is something that came from some other place. And I want to reiterate that, too. Some people started doing a lot of things that weren't solicited. Some of the name changes and statues and all that kind of stuff. Like I always said, I don't want my cars under
armor. I love your analogy about all of this.
That's, you know what I mean? And that's why I am with that. And But as far as what the Falcons will do today, I think is tremendous. They're going to honor the memory of the late John Lewis and make him an honorary team captain for today. I think that's an excellent gesture by this team. I hope that's something that everyone could agree with that would be fitting. And that's what they're going to do before that. I hate that there won't be any fans there to witness that and to respond to that tribute today at the Falcons game. So, you know, like it or not, that's going to be part of it, and it's something that's going to be seen. Like I've always said, whenever this thing about the national anthem is usually never seen during games except when it's a playoff game or the Super Bowl or championship
or till recently.
Game. We don't see it.
Yeah.
Well, recently, you don't see it now, but you see it because people are watching it for other reasons.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But before that, you're right.
Money is being made during that time. You know, commercial spots, their commercial spots need to run. But we're going to see the national anthem today. So, I mean, that's part of what comes with the territory for this first week, the National Football League season. After that, the guys are going to play the games. So that's what we watch to see. I'm watching to see how well they play. Like what David Archer had to say, I think we're going to see some things that are going to be kind of rusty. We're going to see some things that are going to be a little disjointed. But in the end, you know, you want to see football. We want to see the product. We want to see it so bad, it's going to be there. It probably won't be the crisp football that we like to see. Or one team may come out a little more so than the other. And, you know, I still feel like our team gets a win today, though. I still feel like the Falcons come out and get a victory today. I like the things that I've heard and seen. Like I said, I haven't actually been to Flowery Branch, but I like the things I've heard from the players and from the coaches. I think we get a win today.
I didn't get a chance to pick up the phone, but Dr. Dale gave us a shout. So shout out to Dr. Dale from PT Solutions. I'm looking forward to seeing how this Falcons defense handles Russell Wilson. I want to see, obviously, the big one this afternoon with Brady and Drew Brees. But also, I'm so looking forward to how this new L.A. stadium looks inside and out. They're going to unveil it. I think it's tonight's a Sunday night game with the Rams, and they're going to do a look-see of what's going on, but also the rebuilding of that area, Inglewood. You got Steve Ballmer, who's taken over and bought the old Forum the Lakers used to play in, and now you got this new stadium right there in Inglewood. That area is going to be high rent sometime soon with those two stadiums there. Anyway, Mr. Crenshaw, we got past our issues. I want to thank Ken. I want to thank Abe Gordon for helping Ken out, but Ken, our producer, come on here and acknowledge it, man, because you did a great job today. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
We thought he'd get him on there.
No problem.
All right. Sam, listen, you have a great day. Enjoy the games. Everybody, coming up next, it's the Wait For Tailgate Show. Willie P., Hugh Douglas, 9 to 11, followed by the countdown and kickoff. And, of course, it is game day. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.